Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where, of course, we talk about fundraising and leadership and also management and coaching. My name is David Langiuli.
And I'm Janice Cumming. And David, today we are excited to have a guest with us who is Jessica Robluski. And Jessica is the newly appointed Director of Annual and Planned Giving at the University of Waterloo, which, for those of you who don't know, is just a little bit outside of Toronto in Canada. So welcome, Jessica.
Thanks, Janice. Thanks, David. Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your promotion.
Thanks. It feels pretty good, I have to say.
Well, it's so appropriate that you got promoted and we're talking about careers today.
It's like I planned it.
I think you did. I think you said to your boss, hold off on that promotion until I come on the podcast.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting, like, you used the word, and you wrote a blog post for us, which we'll link to in the show notes, and you used the word thoughtful, and you kind of explained a little bit, but for those who are listening, tell us why you intentionally chose the word thoughtful in terms of career planning.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, it's everyone focuses on success, and I think we all have this idea of success, that it's making lots of money or having that job title. It's not necessarily what everybody thinks of as success, which is, you know, number one, why I didn't want to use that. But the other reason is that, you know, just because you put a lot of effort, work, a lot of thought into your career, it doesn't mean you're going to be successful. I think the most important thing that I've done in my own career, and why I wrote that article and called it building a thoughtful career, is because putting thought into it is number one. If you don't have a plan, I think every fundraiser knows this, you're not going to be successful. You're not going to raise money. And the same thing is true about your career. If you don't put thought into it, if you don't know what you want, if you don't know what success looks like to you, you're not going to be successful. So that's why I think it's important to build a thoughtful career, and hopefully you'll be successful. I wish you to be successful, but it's not always guaranteed, right? There is luck. There is opportunity, and it's just making sure that you have done everything you can so that if those opportunities come up, you are considered for them.
Well, I like what you're saying. It reminds me of Dwight Eisenhower, who was, you know, general in World War II, president of the United States. His granddaughter just came out with a book about her grandfather, and he was quoted, you know, he was the mastermind behind D-Day in Europe. And he said something to the effect that it wasn't so much the plan for the, you know, invasion of Europe that mattered. It was the process of planning. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as they hit the beaches in Normandy, the plan went out the window.
Yeah.
Right. But it was the process of planning, thinking through, as you know, being thoughtful and thinking through, as you say, what you want.
Yeah. And I think it's, I like it too, because I think a lot about this in coaching. Like we can set goals, and it's really better to like feel like you're sort of evaluating how you're doing, because you can't control what other people decide to do, right? But it's like at the end of the day, I often say to those clients, so like at the end of the day, at the end of the week, like if you feel like you've done what you want to do, then you can feel good about yourself. So mm-hmm. I think that's really important. So, yeah. And so, Jessica, you shared three kind of key pieces in the article about how you have, you know, been thoughtful in terms of building your career. So let's kind of go through those. So the first one is continuing education.
Mm-hmm. My favorite.
As she smirks.
I've done a little studying, I can say, of fundraising of the nonprofit sector. So yeah, it's definitely why that section was the longest, I think. Just because when you say, you know, lifelong learning or continuing education, I think people come at it from different angles. And I'm sure Janice has heard this in terms of fundraising, where people often come to me and say, you know, master's or CFRE, which one should I do? And my response is, it's not an either or, and they're not the same thing. So, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. I think you have to really step back and say, you know, what is education and what is available to me? So specific to fundraising, you know, what avenues are there? And I think the area that most of us tend to focus on, usually because we're supported through work, is going to conferences, going to workshops or seminars that are focused on, let's say, you know, learning how to be a better major gift fundraiser. or you know, how to copyright for fundraising, those sorts of things, like very tangible outcomes. And I think that's super useful when you're a fundraiser. But I also think it's really hard to have the context for that if you don't understand fundraising at all. If you've just been thrown into, let's say, a coordinator level job and you are sent to a conference, you're not going to absorb most of that information because you don't have the context within fundraising to understand where it all fits, the difference between annual and planned and major gifts. And you don't have any experience to really pin it to say like, oh, now that makes sense when I talk to this donor, that's why this happened, or, oh, I should have done this instead. And so I think naturally, because I'm just drawn to learning, I've always kind of fallen back on going through courses, whether it's through a university or it's through other providers of credible and well thought out education to say, you know, what are the fundraising skills that I need to know to be able to be taken credibly and to do a good job as a fundraiser? So I'll say the Ryerson program. So the Ryerson Fundraising Management Program was definitely a key decision that I made to take those courses, and they covered the gamut of fundraising, each focused on a specific piece. And so I did the whole certificate, but you can certainly do one course at a time. And then if you want to learn about more about specific types of fundraising, I think about planned giving, which has always been a passion of mine and kind of off the side of my desk. Now it's, you know, half of my role, but I just wanted to know more about it and be confident in conversations when somebody would bring up, oh, I'm thinking about my will, or I'm thinking about how I want to leave a legacy, which is the perfect thing that is an entryway to say, oh, well, let me talk to you about leaving a gift in your will to my charity then. And it's when you're not comfortable with those conversations because you've never thought about it, you've never taken a course, of course you're not going to lean into it. So I was equipped with the knowledge. I made those choices to take those courses and I paid for them. And I just feel like it set me up in my career to be successful and to be a really donor-centric relationship manager, as well as, you know, for this position that I've just taken to actually be now in charge of a whole pipeline of expectancies and be talking with donors about what legacy they want to leave at the University of Waterloo. So mm-hmm. It's all because of continuing education in my mind. That's number one. So.
We agree.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. We're a lot of coaches are similar to that as fundraisers, like a little bit like, oh, what's next? What's next? What's next? What's the next thing I could take? But you took the step of, you know, I love how you kind of touched on this in the article. Like there's the initial when you're newer, sort of, you know, learning the basics and then sort of stepping into learning more about leading and managing. But then you decided to do a master's degree, which, you know, to be honest, like very few fundraisers that I know personally have done that. So I'm curious, like, what's the sort of big picture that you get from that? Like, what is it that sort of drove that decision and what has it given you?
Mm-hmm. I think the feedback I was hearing in my career when I was looking at the master's program at Carleton was, you know, you need a master's degree to be considered for leadership level positions. And at that point, I wasn't sure if that meant senior fundraising positions or more generally, you know, CEO or executive director of a nonprofit or charity. And so I was kind of keeping my options open, but I was looking for a program that was kind of like an MBA for nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And I was looking into MBAs at Rotman, at U of T, at Schulich, at York University, both of which are located in Toronto. As well in the United States, because I had heard of programs in Minnesota and at different locations. So, I mean, there's tons of programs out there that focus on nonprofits and even just specifically fundraising. I think what appealed to me about the program at Carleton in Ottawa was that it was new. It seemed exciting. It wasn't too far. It was going to be very cost friendly to me. I did end up getting a scholarship as well, so that was definitely helpful. But it just seemed to cover the kind of spectrum of the nonprofit sector. And because I wasn't sure if my future laid just in philanthropy, I wanted to keep my options open. And I think the beautiful thing that happened is that it made me think about things outside of fundraising. What impacts fundraising, but fundraisers don't really learn about, or it doesn't actually happen to you on a day-to-day basis, you don't think about it. So government relations, right, is a perfect example. And I won't get too deep into this, but I mean, obviously I'm the chair of the Government Relations Committee with AFP Canada. So, I mean, I think there's ways that you can intersect as a fundraiser with different parts of the nonprofit sector. And this program really opened my eyes to all the things that happen or why things are the way they are in our sector that you just kind of take for granted as a fundraiser. You don't think about it because it doesn't affect your day-to-day job and it doesn't affect the revenue you're expected to bring in. So it just seems to be periphery. But really, I think we can, as fundraisers, make ourselves a better environment through things like government relations, changing regulations in our sector, and even encouraging more philanthropy through things like that. So it was so helpful for me to go through that program. Not only did it show me more about the sector and I've learned so much more, but it also connected me with other people, colleagues who I'm now in touch with, who are like-minded, who also want to change the sector for the better. Some of them are fundraisers and some not. It just brings you together with a group of people who are looking at the same things as you and really challenging you to say, well, is fundraising good? Is it bad? Is it neutral? What is it, right? And it's all these bigger conversations I would never normally have with colleagues at work. So it was just like that stimulation, that academic enrichment. And it really, really, I credit it with opening my mind and opening career possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you're preaching to the choir, to two of us. We each have a master's degree. I remember taking a organizational development course in my master's program. And the professor was talking about this nonprofit sector. Like, I was like, whoa, there's this whole other thing. You know, I knew about corporate and I knew about government, but I really didn't know too much about. That's when I got really a first flavor of the whole nonprofit world. So check out those master's programs, folks. So what else, you know, there was something else in the article that you talked about in terms of having a thoughtful process, thinking about your career, and that's building relationships. So why don't you share a little bit with us what you have in mind there?
Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, building relationships to many people is networking. And it's, you know, you have to go out and network. People say it's about who you know. It's not about what you know. And I think there's definitely truth to that. A lot of jobs aren't advertised. And so it's useful to get to know people. But I get this impression from others that, you know, it's not an enjoyable process, that it's like arduous and you have to do it. So you do it, but it's so fake and it's so phony. And it's, maybe it's just because I like talking to people and listening to people that I always kind of enjoyed building relationships with others, whether it's just, you know, as a human being walking around in the world or as a fundraiser. So I never thought of it as something that I, you know, needed to do. It was just kind of happening. And it was kind of like, I'll say a game. It was like a game to me. How many people can I meet? How many interesting people can I, you know, meet at this event? Like Janice, we were talking about how we met and it was actually at a networking event. And I think about how many fundraisers did I meet by going to those kinds of events that I'm still in touch with today, right? So I think putting in the work to meet people, one, hopefully it's fun for you, but if it's not, it will eventually pay off in some way, shape, or form. And I think it's never going to be, you know, 50-50. You can't expect to go into building relationships with people and think, I'm going to get this out of it, or they're going to get this from me. It just naturally evolves as you get to know somebody and see where your career goes, where their career goes. Mm-hmm. But I will say, David, the one mistake I made at the beginning of my career was focusing on only meeting people who were more senior to me. And I have to meet the CEOs. I have to meet people who are, you know, in leadership positions because they're going to hire me, or they might hire me, or they know somebody who can hire me. And I think that was a mistake, not because you shouldn't approach those people, but one, they're busy. Everyone's trying to approach them. And number two, it's just as valuable to meet people who are at the same stage, place, you know, point in their career, because they become your support network forever and ever. And they're going to be with you rising through the ranks in times of struggle and times of success. And those are your people. Like, that's your tribe of fundraisers. And I think it's only through networking and building relationships that you get to know those people.
So I think you mentioned in the article that there's something, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you gave folks some advice to just be authentic and be yourself, like just kind of get to know people. I want to share a story because it happened like this week. When Janice and I launched Fundraising Leadership, I was doing a lot of, and I do a lot of networking on LinkedIn. It's kind of my go-to place. And you and I talked about that before we started the recording. And had a phone call, you know, I connected with somebody. He said, hey, can we have a phone call? I was like, sure. So we had a phone call about 4 or 5 years ago, and he was working in a nonprofit in the northeast of North America, and it never really went anywhere. And then a couple of weeks ago, he's like, hey, I'm stepping down from my role. Can we catch up? And so I was like, sure. Well, it turns out that he's an alumnus and very active volunteer. We're going to talk about volunteering in a moment. He's a very active alumnus, volunteer, and donor at Rutgers University in New Jersey. It just so happens I know someone who's also a very active alumnus, a volunteer, and donor at Rutgers. So I just like put these two guys together, you know, and that's sometimes all you do in networking is you say, oh, I know this person. I think, you know, it'd be good for you to get to know him. And then you see where that goes. So it can be as simple as that.
Yeah. And I think it's like, I love what you're saying, Jessica, and I will give a little shout out to our mutual friend Maeve, because we met at a Maeve's meetup in midtown Toronto. I think you said, what, 2014, we think, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. And that was a networking thing that I really liked, because it was quite small and intimate. Like, we were sitting at tables beside someone, you know, and so I think those days of going to these big events and handing out your business cards are over, or at least hopefully they're over. So I think that's where the kind of the fear and the icky feeling about networking comes in. You know, it's like, it's networking if you're on LinkedIn commenting on someone's post that you found interesting. It's networking if you invite someone for coffee, you know, it's networking if you connect two people. So I think it's really important for people to find, like, everyone can find a way that feels good for them to be building relationships. So, yeah.
So I want to pick up on this volunteering piece, because I recognize you volunteer for AFP in Canada, and if I'm not mistaken, from your bio, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I volunteer on the AFP board here in Southwest Florida. So say a little bit about volunteering and how it factors into your career planning and thinking about your career.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in many ways it's connected with relationship building for people who, you know, don't want to go to those meetups and hand out their business card. A perfect way to get to know somebody. Well, it's like dating. It's, you have an activity that you're doing, you're volunteering together, and you naturally build relationships with people. And so part of why I actually kind of put my hand up, I remember reaching out to Cynthia Quigley, who all Canadian fundraisers will probably have heard of. She was the longtime, what shall I call her? The executive director, I believe, of the AFP Greater Toronto chapter. So I think she was with the chapter for almost 25 years. She just retired last year. And so she was the person you needed to talk to if you wanted to volunteer with AFP Toronto. And so I reached out to Cynthia and said, I'm a new fundraiser. I want to get involved. Is there any, you know, committee work or any events that you need volunteers for? And she said, yes, there is. There's this thing called the Mentor Meet and Greet event, which no longer happens, but at the time it was happening. And so I was added to this committee with several fundraisers who had been running this event for a few years. And so it's a committee for a networking event. So it was quite funny. So I was accomplishing many things all at once. But it was great because, one, I got to kind of dip my toe into AFP, because sometimes you can put your hand up for volunteering and never be called on. So it was great to have that experience to actually be able to get into the AFP networking, or sorry, volunteering group, and then see, you know, is this really what I want to move forward with? So it ended up, after that 1 year, they decided no longer run that event. And so the question was, what else can I get involved with? And because Cynthia knew me, she saw the work that I put in, she was willing to add me to another committee. And so from there, I just kind of grew and moved around and learned what I wanted to do with AFP, what I didn't want to do. And, you know, all along the way, met great people who I'm, you know, still in touch with now. And they're fundraisers at different charities all across Toronto and all across Canada. And I think it's just this wonderful, you know, relationship building that has happened throughout the volunteering. So it's not only am I enjoying giving back to our profession in different ways, because I think there's some way that all of us could get involved with AFP and give back. But also you're building relationships with other fundraisers and really helping yourself and helping the sector. Like, it just feels good. It's just like a win-win-win, I feel like.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I used to, because I come from the prosthetic research world, I did a lot of volunteering with APRA Canada and APRA. And the thing about volunteering is, like, you often get opportunities as a volunteer to do things like you would never get to do at work. Like, oh, it's a way to really step yourself up. You know, I remember early in my career, like, you know, I'm co-chairing this gigantic conference and I'm thinking like, wow, like I, you know, this is not something that I would have an opportunity to do. And then you take that back to your workplace and suddenly, you know, you can show to your manager or you can put that on your resume that you've done something really spectacular. So I think it's fun and you get to meet people and it really builds a skill set that, you know, sometimes as a volunteer, you get trusted to do things. I think a lot more than you when you're getting paid.
Like, go do it. We need it done. Okay. Yeah, I have no idea how to do this, but it'll get done.
Well, and I think the other good thing is as a fundraiser, we often have volunteers we work with. And so it puts you on the other side. And it's really interesting how you can relate then to your volunteers at work because you know how you've been treated by others when you're a volunteer. It's kind of like you're doing some sort of research, right? To like, put myself in them in their shoes because then you know what you shouldn't do to a volunteer or what you should.
Exactly. Yeah.
So Jessica, if you had to give folks who are listening to the podcast one thing to try or put into practice, what would you suggest?
Yeah, I think if you're not already, I would suggest reaching out to somebody that you've seen on LinkedIn, you've seen them on Twitter, or maybe you've met them in real life or heard them speak at a conference. You think, oh, I really want to be that person. And it could be somebody who's a few years older than you. It could be somebody who's at the same place in your career. But I would suggest that you reach out to them and see, you know, what was all that work that went into getting them to where they are? What's attracting you to them? What is it about their career or about them? And what can you learn from that? I mean, did they do some sort of special education? Did they volunteer with something that you're also interested in volunteering with? Or is it just that you want to build a relationship with them because there's just something about them? They're a leader or they're just somebody you look up to and you haven't actually reached out to them. So I would just suggest reach out to them. It's not that scary and they'll probably say yes because that's what fundraisers do. We say yes if we're asked out for coffee or for a call. So reach out to them and just learn about all that hard work that went into getting them to where they are and then figure out what can I take from that? What can I learn from that? And you already will have built a relationship. And that's, you know, step number one for fundraising. So
nice. Yeah. And I know that you are very generous and people often reach out to you. So if people want to connect with you, where's the best place for them to find you?
I would say definitely send me a message on LinkedIn. That's where I look to make sure I'm reaching back out to everybody who wants a coffee or a call or an email. So reach out to me on LinkedIn. Happy to have a chat anytime.
Great. And we will link to that in the show notes so they can find you.
Well, Jessica, I'm going to take you up on your invitation and I've already met you. And so, but I will connect so we can stay connected via LinkedIn. And at that, we will go ask the audience to put this into practice.